on people, and you know, not necessarily making money or, but it was people focused, it was caring focused, and I really appreciated that. Let me think here. We were doing a lot of different exercises. There were a few. I'm just trying to think through which ones encouraged me the most for building a career. Kayla, can you think of anything too? My daughter's here as well. And I don't know if I have speakerphone on my phone or not. Just push
it. Yeah, Kayla. Kayla would know. She's young. They know everything.
Yeah. I know, it's like, okay, jog my memory here. Oh, well, it's about building a career, honey. Just some of the things we learned that would help you build a career in the can. Well, do you want to come over here and talk? I know, okay. building a career was... just the idea of caring for people, you know, and build your career on caring for people. That was huge. And I just like the heart. I like the heart that came across.
Well, if we put it this way, there were three pillars or three legs to a stool. And one of those legs was the Niken business. Money comes in, products go out, that's the Niken business. The second one would be the products themselves. That's usually what most people think the two legs of a stool are. But a three-legged stool doesn't work worth a hoot if you don't have the third leg. If the third leg is a group of people gathering to share a full-on life experience, does this seem like a fairly good way to start?
Yeah, I remember you sharing that, Jerry, and I remember Kayla making a comment about that. That was a good visual for us to remember those three things, and that's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now, was there any just particular? Then we'll move on to the next people who went a couple in their second go around. But were there any particular ahas that you got? Things that were really particularly insightful for you?
Well, it was. It was great when we were talking about why do I deserve to be rich? You know, we went through all of that, and how I deserve to prosper, I deserve to be rich just because I'm a human being. And so many people do come to a business like this and think, well, I don't really deserve to be rich. You know, that's part of who I am. I don't really deserve that. And it's not true. It's true that, you know, we do deserve to have an abundant life and to prosper. And that was a good way of presenting that, I thought. And let's see, another aha. What was the other thing I really liked? I'm just trying to think. I've been gone as fast as I can go the last week. So to sit down and just sort of remember what we all did.
There was a lot right packed now. Into that, and many times quite emotional for people. Well, if we go through and something comes, then you just chime right back in.
The other thing about the 99 to the 1, you know, what brings results, and thinking through that whole process, we were all over the place. And, you know, at first I thought it was, 1 to 99, and then we thought, no, it should be 99 to 1, or, you know, we were just, maybe it's 50-50, but I like that exercise as well. You know, you got to be in it. Committed 100%, so that was.
And everything becomes obvious, and you guys are doing a tremendous job of bringing some really good people to the table, because you're focused, you're thinking, that's what's on your mind, and you're watching for those opportunities. So I'm very pleased with how you're getting started. I'm going to jump to Dave and Rhonda, who have gone through at least two now. What was your perspective? What were some of your favorite highlight points? Well, this is Dave. That was my second one. I think Rhonda, that was her fourth one. But I guess the aha, even though I've gone through it once before, was the intention versus the mechanism, the intent and commitment. And I think there's several tapes, Jeff Olson's and Napoleon Hill's, that says when you're going to make that commitment, you write down the goals, and you got to consider the sacrifices that you're going to make to get there. Great. Now, what did you notice differently this time that you didn't last time, or things that you looked at differently because it's your second time around and you have a team now, whereas before you were just wide-eyed and green coming in? Well, or did you notice a difference in that?
I did. Like I said, I was through it before, but I do not remember until at the very end the 100 versus 0 on the intent versus mechanism. And I guess the other thing was that how we're worth it because we're a human being. And so, you know, it was very uplifting, very encouraging, and just remaking that commitment.
Do you feel as close to the people there as you normally do in a job situation?
Yeah, or more so. I mean, you've connected with all those people because they have those same dreams and desires, and wanting to help other people and wanting to better themselves, and so there's a strong connection there. More so than, especially on my job, where it's actually competitive and versus trying to help each other.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, is Rhonda on?
Yeah, she's right here. Oh, no, she isn't.
Okay, we'll come back then. Russell, you were a number of these now, and this one was a real challenge for you because your partner kept slipping out from under you. Can you tell us what you would recommend to people when they're talking to folks about why it's important to have their partners or the people stick around just for the sake of the partner?
Yeah, partnerships are pretty important. And I was partnered up with one of the Russian gentlemen, and he slipped out before the end of the first day with his mother and one other. And then I partnered up with Ivan and his son in another group, and about an hour later, they slipped out. So it was kind of challenging the first day to do all the partnership stuff, but it was still a great experience. And fortunately, I'd been through all of the training modules just the first day, that when they slipped out, I was okay without having a partner.
Uh-huh.
Some of the things that really hit me, and they hit me before too, going through human beings more, is releasing the blame of others when, you know, you think about your parents and what they did, what they didn't do, blah, blah, blah. Is releasing the blame of them and releasing them blaming you as well at the same time. And then it gives you the opportunity to make the choice to make no excuses if you really want it. So you can go forward. And it's, you know, some people still have excuses that they're not ready to go forward on yet. So when you're ready, you're ready. And then one of the other parts that I really like is the life cycle training plan, where you get up and share your life cycle plan. Everybody is cheering for you, and you get their turn to share their life cycle plan, and you turn around and cheer for them. It's just a win-win feeling.
Awesome. Yeah, that is good, and we just really want to remember that. Good. Marion, what were some of the things that, after having gone a number of times, you could share that are different?
Okay, I didn't go this time.
You made a comment somewhere. Oh, it was up at Dave's house.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right, and is Rhonda back?
Not quite. She's still in the other room.
I'm just playing around here trying to figure some stuff out. Gina, you got the chance to be there for the first day. What were some of the things that you picked out of that, both for yourself and watching, because you had lots of people there?
Yes, I'm sorry, I was unmuting and I didn't catch everything you said, but you wanted to
both for yourself and for your team.
My group there?
Yeah, so first off, there's one thing about going through this course when you're by yourself. And there's another when you have a group of people in your group going through it as well. So what were some of your perspectives you were picking up there?
Well, it felt really good to be in a room full of, as Mary Jo had talked about earlier, just, you know, people with the heart of Nican, and seeing a lot of those people that were in my group, which of course made it even more special. It just felt like a family reunion. It made me relax and feel more comfortable and just be more excited about what I was ready to take in over the course of those several hours. I discovered that I can draw with my left hand.
Oh, that's me.
That was fun. And, hey, I actually got to fulfill some of that today. I spent quite a few hours up on a horse riding today. So Jan Davis was right. You know, what you put down on in pictures, on paper, and, you know, those things can really come true. So make sure you're really, you know, dreaming your dreams in visual pictures that can become a reality, because they will become a reality. But I think one of my big ahas was, you know, the more I hear my team talk to me and people that share with me about always having great product experiences and just how much this company and these technologies change their life, it just makes me more and more passionate, and I just feel like I'm, you know, I just want to share it so much with people. But, you know, Larry Proffitt said something that was just so, just so profound to me. He, you know, man of wise words there, he said something about seek first to understand. And, you know, it just kind of sounds like a Chinese proverb to me or something, but, you know, seek first to understand. And he said, you can't see what they see if you're trying to tell them what you see. And so I've really got to try to keep that in my forefront here as I move forward, because I can become so excited and so passionate about just, you know, wanting to practically barf Nican, I think, on people still today. That I just got to sit back, I got to learn how to listen, I have to learn how to identify what it is that they really want in their life, because it's so amazing that we have a company that can fulfill so many different solutions for so many different problems. It's not just a one-shot deal. So anyway, that's going to be my focus, is trying to be a better listener and find out what other people want.
Very good. Now, Steve, that's a pretty good segue. Did you get a chance to go back and review some of your Wolfgang material, or did you get any?
I did not.
Okay. That's Wolfgang is going to be so profound to all of you and so interesting. By the way, are there any people on the call that are not on the internet that I just haven't noticed, because I can't tell if you're on one and not the other. So anyone here?
I'm still working on the internet. I'm trying.
Okay. Well, I know you're here, Marion. So, okay, here we go. I'm going to segue into this. And there are three of us who have a little bit of Wolfgang experience. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be starting to work on a little bit of group dynamics and developing a concept. Russ and I worked at this yesterday at the swim meet a little bit. But, Marion, we were talking early in the call about the Wolfgang's little study thing he did, or it's a little exercise that he does with his team, and with using the word water and the word work and the word money. Can you explain what you learned from that?
Well, just so the others know, basically he wanted all the people in the group, there was a whole big audience, to write down the first thing that came to mind with the words money, water, work. And then after, and he gave them a few minutes to do this, and then he wanted them to check with their neighbors and find out how many things they had in common. And they were, if someone else had written the same word, they were to circle it. So guess how many circles they had on the paper? I would have guessed a lot. The most was 5.
So if you all get a picture of this, they were trying to write as many words as they could that came to their mind when you think about water. So you make this huge, long list. And then you try to find somebody in the crowd afterwards to see how many of their words matched with your words. And the number one most number of matches was 5.
So basically, it's what Gina was saying. We need to listen, and we need to not assume that when we say a benefit or when we're talking about something, that they are on the same page that we are. We've got to ask questions to know what they're really thinking and what that means to them.
Along that same line, Russell, can you remember what she talked, what he talked about in terms of fishing with cinnamon rolls?
Yes, that you might be using something you like for bait, but you have to have something that they want, not what you want, if you want them to come forward.
So it, just with that one little point, who's got an idea of what the prospect is probably going to want? What kind of bait does the prospect want?
Something simple?
I need. It's probably a big motivator today.
Money, huh?
Like I said,
what percentage of the population do you think wants shoe inserts?
Out in the workforce, one of the top things is being appreciated and knowing that they're special. And being rewarded for that.
Great, so you'd want to throw that into a presentation. What are some of the other things that a prospect might want? Money, we've got money, and we've got being appreciated.
Legacy?
A legacy. There are people for whom that is really the number one driver for them, is to leave a legacy for other people of the way they live their lives. Maybe it's a financial legacy. Could be a bunch of camps that they were building. What's another thing that a prospect might be consider tasty bait?
Oh.
Recognition.
Recognition, health. So I'm going to just take my little deal here and play a little bit. Well, anybody else? Steve, what's yours? I'm going to give everybody a vote on this. What's your favorite one you think a prospect is looking for in the world?
Security.
Okay, going to write that down. Then Dave and Rhonda, what do you think is your favorite thing that a prospect is probably going to want in the world?
Financial freedom?
Like money, freedom, health, belonging. Am I on mute?
No, we're good. I'm writing them down. Sorry about that. And then, Mary Jo, what do you think a person, some of the bait that they would really move toward?
Well, if they're not well, they're on drugs, medications, you know, they want freedom from pain.
Okay.
So if they're in pain, you know, to not hurt.
Now, Larry Prophet pointed out this weekend that there were usually two drivers for people. One is to move toward or to cause pleasure to move in that direction, and the other one is to move away or to avoid pain. I can't remember how he worded those exactly, but which is stronger?
Avoid pain.
The fear of loss. is much, much, much stronger than the possibility of gain. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody told a story once in Humans Being More that said, if Russell was cruising down the street with a baseball bat and he was breaking out the headlights on all the cars down the street, and if I came up and said, Russell, it starts this way. Russell, I'm gonna slip a $30 underneath the at 3 o'clock in the morning. I ring you up on the phone. I said, I'm gonna slip $30 underneath the mat out in front of your house. And he's gonna go, whatever, quit calling in the middle of the night. But if I called him up and said somebody's coming down the street smashing everybody's headlights, would he get out of bed?
Yeah.
Even if the headlight costs only $20.
Yeah.
Could cost less, but he'd be out there in one nanosecond really fighting that fear of loss. So in terms of the prospect, they usually have a tremendous fear of loss. How can you frame it? One of them that Steve already brought up was the concept of security. So y'all see what we're talking about in these?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what, if you went out and tallied most of the people that worked at Humans Being More Training, what percentage of the people that they prospect do you think they prospect with the products and the product value?
Could you say that again, Jerry?
If you took the cross-section of all the people that were a Human Being More this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and you asked them, when you prospected every person you've ever prospected, what percentage of those did you lead with the products? What would the percentage be?
Probably better than 70%.
I would say 90% or more.
And, you know, what's interesting is, let's just say it's an average of those two, and it was 80%. If 80% of those presentations were leading with the products, those distributors, and there's 80% of all the distributors, go into one pot. They would represent 20% of NECAN's total growth. See if I can state that again so it makes sense to you. 80% of all the distributors put in one pot represent 20% of NECAN's total volume. And that 80% always leads with products.
So you want to lead with business.
Remember, and this is really interesting, there are three parts to this stool.
Mm-hmm.
There's products. There's business, and this is where most people keep getting stuck, and then there is what? What is the third leg?
Vision.
Community.
NECAN family.
The vision of NECAN.
Vision and lifestyle, right?
Yep.
So, remember what percentage of the people actually think, boy, you lead with products, what do they think? You do for a living.
We're salesmen.
How many people like salespeople? So then you go to this one, and how many people like business? Think I'm confident in the business? Give me, say the word, I'll own the thing. I mean, I can conquer business. About the same percent.
That's a heavy word.
It is. How about this one? What percentage do you think of the people then are left over that would respond to vision? So let's say you have three swimming pools, three ponds, and you're going to take people fishing. And in one pond, you have 50 fish. A pond of the same size for products or business, you have 50 fish. And in the vision pond, you have 900 fish. which is your best likelihood for catching fish?
Vision Pond.
Same size pond, 900 fish, it's the Vision Pond. Also remember that if you lead with the products, you get sales people who will then try to harness sales people. Lead with the business, you get business people. If you lead with the vision, you get leaders. So we keep coming back around the flagpole. Now let's take the Wolfganging experience, because I think the Wolfganging experience is incredibly important. Most of you still don't have any idea what I'm talking about when I talk about the Wolfganging experience. So what we're going to do is we're going to use those people who have begun to get an experience. You have to listen to Wolfgang. Have you ever listened to somebody who was absolutely certain about something? And when you listen to them, you feel more solid in your own conviction. And you love being around these people because there's this peace in the sense that there's an old saying that says those people with experience are never at the mercy of those with an opinion. These are experienced people who know that they know that they know. You got a carpenter coming over to your house. You can have him build some really fancy cabinets. You want that person to speak with tremendous confidence. If you've got a long trip you're going to go on, and then somebody goes, I'll tell you what, you have to worry about this at this place and not that at that place. I'll be right back with you all. Just one moment. Sorry, I'm back. Somebody was trying to get into the web page. Okay, so, gosh, Marcia had me answering a question there. I got all off. We've got to come up with a vision for what this Wolfgang guy is and what he does and how he believes. He's got the conviction. So let's build it. What if this group, we had a lot of people making commitments to go silver. We had a lot of people making commitments to go gold. What if we can build a belief system right here, right now, about what it takes to go silver? Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
All right. So if we knew that in this group it was all for one and one for all, everybody was going to tie yourselves together with rubber bands and we were going to go out and get this thing done, one of the things I wanted you all to get a chance to listen to Wolfgang about was this incredible clarity of vision. You know when you hear him talking that he knew exactly where he was going to go. He knew exactly what it would take to get there. Which person are you most likely to follow? Some guy across the street says, I'm going to do something like, I'm going to make rubber, I know what I'll do. I'll make rubber earrings for women that bounce when you walk. Why? Because I thought it was a great idea, and I don't have any marketing experience, and I ran out of money last week, so I came over to your house to get some. I mean, what the heck? But if you live next door to Dave Johnson, and he comes over and he goes, you know what, he's got this nice house, everything seems to work, you've seen him, everything he touches turns to gold, and he says something, you're going to believe it a little bit more. You've got to have that level of conviction. So let's build a silver distributorship. A silver factory. Even Wolfgang said that. And what are you going to do to find out who wants to go silver? One of the things that Wolfgang did, he's the first guy that came up with the classifications of distributors. Russell, Mary, and you, the ones that have been able to listen to Wolfgang, what were those classifications?
First one is people that want no contact with you again. No desire for what you have or what you are offering.
All right, the second one.
What that, Marion?
Oh, go ahead. By people who are going to be consumers buying products.
Right. Buy at retail.
Right.
The third one?
Third one is I like the products. I don't want to pay retail. I want those at wholesale.
Now, what did you guys pick up when he was describing these? Did he have any malice toward any group?
No. They're all great.
What was the fourth level of interest that someone might have?
Fourth level is they are going to be recruiting. They are going to be developing a team. Level is they are going to go all out, and they are going to be your top leaders. That's their goal.
And he had one specific definition of what a five was. Do you remember what that was? What was different about a five?
Somebody who had vision of where it could go, and that's what they totally focused on.
Well, yeah, and what?
They have all the options. They have to have the tools. They are on auto ship. They have their 100 name list. They are focused in doing the same.
And he said that the fives are the type of people who are building the structure for everybody else to work within. They're the planners, the developers, and the builders. Where does all the money come from?
Fourth and fifth level.
Okay, now this is two different things we're talking about here. What he said in this section was that your money will come from the threes and fours.
Okay.
Because the threes and fours will be buying wellness homes, they'll be buying stuff, they'll be putting stuff out there. There's just so many more of them than there are fives. So you have to love them, you have to teach them, you have to train them. He went through a section where he said, okay, if I have a consumer that wants to buy at retail, what do you have to teach them?
How to order.
Yep, what the products do and how to order. Who in this group, if you had to, could be an instructor on a weekend event for an hour seminar on teaching consumers how to order for Nikan? Is there anyone on this panel who could do that?
We all could.
Yeah.
And Mary Jo, do you think you could teach somebody to order?
Sure.
So, as you teach somebody to order, then you could be a mentor for somebody at the retail level already.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's go up to the next level and see if everybody on this call is capable, ready, and raring to go to create and train a wholesale buyer. What would you need to teach them?
How to sign up and
right.
How to order.
That's right. And then the third thing might be, where do you go if you want to be more someday? Everybody good with that? So you could all be instructors of wholesale buyers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now how about a recreational distributor? What would you have to teach them?
How to do the prospect, the invite, the follow-up, the basic program that we have on inviting people.
You'd also have to teach, you'd have to teach them to do all the things that your wholesale buyer did,
mm-hmm.
and then a few more.
How to sign somebody up?
Yep, how to sign somebody else up, how to show the program, do those things. And what Wolfgang says, how long does he like to work with someone?
2 weeks.
Now, I'm going to ask Gina this. Marion, I want you to describe what that 2 weeks means and how he lets people know about those 2 weeks. Do you remember how he does that?
Well, to begin with, he's asking people people if they want to be part of his team. He tells them that he is developing this club of people to make $100,000 a month. And let's see. He says, I'm bringing this into your area. I want to get together to show you my plan. I want you to be able to lead me to a leader who will be the president in your area. And this person will be making at least $100,000 a month. And I can show you in 2 weeks. I want these people in that 2 weeks, I'm going to teach you how to enroll, how to begin, the tools you need, the process that we have. Is that what you're talking about?
And basically, he's creating what's called an exit strategy. Now, it doesn't mean if he wants to teach you everything he's going to teach you in 2 weeks, and you know that you've got the best in the business, a guy that built 8 diamonds and a royal diamond, first line in 2.5 years, the fastest guy from zero to $100,000 a month in the history of the business. And he says, within 2 weeks, you will know everything there is to know about what's necessary to build this business. What does that do to you for confidence?
I think it gives you confidence, but it also gives you urgency. If I have 2 weeks of this man, I am going to break my neck to do whatever he says and learn whatever he has, because he's not going to be here in 3 weeks, so I better get it in 2 weeks.
And, Gina, do you get any sort of thoughts that come from having an exit strategy of 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that makes total sense. You know, like we always talk about in sales, you know, they say follow-up is 95% of the sale. Well, when, as Marion said, you know, that's exactly what he's doing. He's creating urgency, and that can be almost as important as the follow-up, because when you realize that you have a confident leader like that that can take you where you really want to go, and he'll work that closely with you to mentor you and train you, and he can accomplish that in 2 weeks, I think you're more apt to give him your all and, you know, to let a few other things take less priority in your life and jump in with full, you know, both feet ahead, you know, you're gonna feel confident that you can pick up and take off where he is when he leaves, and that's huge. And by creating that urgency, it's like we were talking about earlier, it's the fear of loss. You know, it's people are going to want to move towards that because of the fear of being left behind, that they could have been one of his leaders making $100,000 a month, but they missed the boat.
Great.
If they say, I can't do it this week, I will start the first of next month, it frees you, you know, and they are
going to
set a date on their calendar.
And Russell and I, Russell was asking me yesterday, how did Dutch and Jeff Van Blaricum organize their week so that in 16 hours a week they could have built this massive $1 million-a-year business on 16 hours a week? Russell, was it helpful for me to lay that out?
Yes, it was.
I'd like to know.
You just cleared the cloud or the fog out of what I needed to see, because it was so clear.
I think it was stated that way because, and it made clarity to you, because we've been stating it in 4 different programs, but just setting it down by itself in that quick little overview, I think, cleared it up for you, right? Steve, are you familiar with enough of the background information to be able to tell us how that's done, how those guys do it in, well, Van Blaricum originally said 11 hours a week, but How do they do that? Do you know? Steve's not with us here. Steve, you're on mute if you're still here. How about Dave Ronda? Do you remember? Based on some of the things you've learned before?
While I'm thinking about it, can I tell you how not to do it? Because I love
okay.
that
podcast. Go, Marion.
Now, he says some people, when they're meeting with people, will say, you know, the prospect will say, well, I just don't know if I have that much time. And so the person who's recruiting will say, well, it's so easy, and I will help you out. And it's going to be, the other person says, well, I think it's going to be hard, and well, I will do it for you. And so is that the kind of team member you want, and where you're going to do it for them, and you're going to do it for their people, and you're going to do it for their people's people?
Yeah, that's a great point. He said that if you're going to have you're going to build a multi-million-dollar business, and you had to go out and choose vice presidents for that business, then would you choose people like that? Would you walk up on the street and say, hello, I'm looking for a vice president of my business? And they say, well, what do you mean? You look like a breathing person. You could be a vice president. Well, what? What would I have to do? Well, you know, it's a multi-million-dollar business, and you don't really have to work because I'll do it for you. And they say, well, it would involve work. No. You remember, I'm going to kind of do that part for you until you get the vision. And well, I don't have any money. I'll tell you what, I'll buy this stuff for you to get you started. That's how not to do it. Right, Marion?
I've tried it. I'm 100% against it.
Okay, Russell, can you see the screen?
I can. Before
okay, can you
go into that, maybe we can relate to what Marion just brought up with how Wolfgang explains it. And that, is that okay to go that way?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, he talks about a professional football player, and where's the coach on the football game? Is he on the field or is he on the sideline?
Sideline.
Okay, if he's on the sideline, and the player comes up and says, "Oh, I don't feel good, coach, can you play for me?" So is that the kind of player you'd pay to be on your organization?
Very good.
That was the relation back to Wolfgang.
Now, there are so many gems to be pulled out of Wolfgang. I need to, this, we're coming up near the end, but I want Russell to show you how to do this. It's 16 hours a week.
Hey, Jerry. As far as the structure, he had five, if I remember correctly, he had five ABCs that he figured would take half hour to get to, half hour to be at, and a half hour to leave. So that was like 7.5 hours. A meeting with a rollout would be about 2.5 to 3 hours, and then prospecting 1 to 2 hours.
Well, this is starting to make some sense to you then, huh?
Yep.
Russell?
Okay, you've got ABC, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so is that one ABC you're going to do a day, or...
Russell, would you go ahead and take off on what Steve said there and put some numbers to each of those for values of hours and see what we come up with for a total here.
Okay, for each ABC or coffee shop, they dedicated 40 minutes plus 20 minutes of travel time.
So that's 1 hour for each one of those. So how many hours is that?
So there'd be about 5 hours there.
Okay.
5 hours at least.
Mary Jo, can you see that?
Are you saying December?
So each ABC represents 1 hour of time.
Each ABC, 1 hour.
Okay. And then you're welcome.
Can you see how that comes up to a total of 5 hours?
your wellness preview would be an hour of about 2 hours total, plus some travel time. So maybe 3 hours total.
And how much for your follow-up?
And the follow-up was about 4 hours.
4 hours on Friday. So this is one day a week.
One for your follow-up meeting, yeah.
Oh, follow-up meeting.
Okay, Russell, they sound like they're not clear, so I want you to give me some values here, and I want everybody to sort of get where we are here. I've got the totals that I'm putting in at the bottom, and I want you to give me total numbers of hours for each one of those.
Our let's start with the wellness preview would be, let's say, 3 hours, and the follow-up 4 hours. So that would be 7 hours. And if you just did four ABCs during the week, that'd be 1 hour each. That would give you a total of 11 hours as the short model.
Now, I'm looking at the follow-up. Got 4 hours. So are you doing, is one follow-up going to be 4 hours, or are you doing follow-up from four of your ABCs and doing it with 1 hour?
That would be from your wellness preview participant.
Okay.
This
is a good question to be asking, because this is like our water and money question. We have so many different people that are seeing this and getting confused. So Russell, you need to clear up the air here. What are they missing?
Is there
a definition for each of the three categories? You did for the ABC very clearly, 40 minutes of presentation, 20 minutes of travel time. So define the other two.
The wellness preview, you're going to have an hour presentation approximately, and an hour to do your rollout and product experiences, and a half hour travel to and from, so a half hour twice.
Okay, is everybody clear on that?
That makes good sense.
Are you all comfortable with the idea that those time frames are reasonable?
Except that on his ABCs, he says 4 hours, and you have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, that's five of them.
Okay, in this case, we do have five. Russell said, what if we did four, and I didn't erase that one. That's right. Is everybody clear? Say no if those things are not clear.
I'm not clear on the follow-up.
Okay. Let's see if I can, Marion, you will understand this completely when I tell it to you.
Good.
The follow-up is a level four meeting.
Yes.
Now, all of a sudden that cleared up in your mind, right?
I know what it is, but I don't understand if that's four follow-ups or one follow-up with four people.
If you were to do a full level four meeting with somebody, how long would it take?
I'm lucky to get it done in an hour.
Uh-huh, and it should take four.
That would be for just one person. So you're assuming that out of the four ABCs you do, you're only going to have one follow-up?
That's right.
Okay.
So what is a level four meeting?
That's a good question. Now, what we were doing for, that I think this is the best sort of format for us was when we did this. We call it a level four meeting, but Jeff Van Blarkum calls it the follow-up. The first one is to invite people, and a lot of people are going to start recognizing what we're talking about here. The second one is the coffee shop or ABC. And so even somebody new like Mario, Joe, do you know that we can actually do those coffee shops if we follow the a kind of a flip chart or a video, we could do it in 40 minutes or less.
Sure.
And then from there, there would be people who said, boy, I've got a, you know, that's an interesting thing, and I'd like to look at it in more detail. I'd like to go to the wellness preview. And so that would be the level three meeting, or a home meeting. And then the level four meeting, once we get this all mapped out here, you will all see that the level four meeting is the follow-up meeting, and during that meeting, we have a lot to do. Now, does everybody recognize that structure?
Yep.
Yes. I go back to this whiteboard here. Can you see how that structure kind of fits? You're going to do more of the quick ABCs, and you're asking people to go to the wellness preview. You might get two or three of those four or five to actually show up for the next step wellness preview. Make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Out of those, if you've done it properly, our numbers tell us that one of them will want to sit down in a follow-up meeting. In the follow-up meeting, it's very structured. It says, what is it that they want? Now, Wolfgang is somebody that you're all going to get a chance to become aware of what he's looking for and passing the vision by listening to his CDs. But we're going to be finding out what they want. And then we're going to show them a pathway by which they can get what they want. And that's what I want to do from here out on these calls, is to say, we're going to find out how to get you all to that silver level and how to start building silvers and more silvers and more silvers. And we're going to go absolutely for getting everybody paid and getting you paid solidly. That's what this is all going to be about. And it's now becoming very, very clear where we want to go and what we want to do. We're just going to get paid, because you can't even hang around the game unless you get paid. And I bet your enthusiasm goes up a lot if all of you started getting paid. So that's what we're going to be doing in the follow-up meeting, is this. If we go back to this view of it, the follow-up meeting says we're going to ask you questions about what you want. Then we're going to tell you what the structure would be on how to get what you want. And then you have to get 30 ABCs in a calendar month to make a silver. So then we start making all the coffee shop appointments, or ABCs, to find out who will actually go through the wellness preview, and see that fewer yet than some will go through the follow-up, and then we run right back through the cycle over and over and over. You all seeing that?
Okay, I got a question on the amount of time.
Because
you have a lot of time to note things, but I don't see any time there for the invite and the calling and asking people to get together for the ABC.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. I'm going to give you the amount of time that should be allotted for the two parts. Now, remember, there's a prospecting part and there's a recruiting part. Everybody remember the difference between those two? Prospecting is asking questions, finding out if somebody's worth talking to. You do it all day long. That's going to be the bulk of your time, but you're going to be talking anyway. It's just replacing what you're already talking about. And I would say that you probably would talk, and this is a wild guess, it doesn't count in the overall 11 hours, because you're already talking anyway. You're just going to change what you're talking about. You're going to ask questions, okay? So I'm not going to put that as a value of time, but I will put a value of time under the recruiting part, and it should be one, what? 1 minute or less.
Right.
So that means, Gina, is it feasible to prosper to recruit somebody in 1 minute or less?
Yes, absolutely, and the better. And I just wanted to add one thing here. When we're talking about time, you know, I honestly believe one of the ways that I was able to go so fast in that first month, because I needed to be home initially getting those prospects lined up for wellness previews was I used the three-way call system, and I almost substituted it for the ABC. Jerry, you did some dynamic ABCs right on the phone within 5 to 10 minutes, maybe sometimes 15, but we were able to figure out pretty quickly whether that person really wanted enough information or was curious now enough to go to the next step, which really was going to be the wellness preview.
That's a good point.
So we didn't have to go to the coffee shop and find out that, you know, 10 other excuses. I mean, we kind of went through some numbers there and pre-qualified people, and just like as Wolfgang did, we were actually finding out whether they just wanted product. Some of them just wanted product, wanted to be well. Some of them wanted to learn more about the business. Some of them wanted both. But you'd be surprised how much you could accomplish on the phone. And now we've got the M-Touch system and, you know, all the computer, you know, the internet era that we're in. My gosh, you could sit and have an ABC with them right on a WebEx and never leave your home.
Now, I've been working on this system for a long time to try to help people understand it, but it's always been fuzzy and cloudy. I want to know, is it starting to make sense to all of you that if you did this on a weekly basis, every week, for 3 months, do you think you could be successful? Yes.
If you know your why, because
then how many
tell you that they, you know, like Wolfgang said, if they're not interested, it's not going to phase you. You're just going to go on to the next one.
Great. How many people would you see in an ABC if you were averaging 4 a month or 4 a week and you were doing it for 3 months? What would be the total number of people you would see?
48.
416 times 3, what's that?
48.
That's 48. Out of 48 people, if that's 48, can you see that one follow-up, that would be you'd have 12 follow-ups during that time.
Yeah.
Because they act, and you have three times, so you'd have 12 per 36 people that went to wellness previews. These are hours. Let's see if I give you a dot to look at and make it more clear to you. This gat's going to jump on me. This group right here is hours. These are the numbers of people that would be seen in 3 months. If you clearly stated the same presentation over and over again 48 times in 3 months, do you all believe that you'd have three major players in your group?
Oh, I'm sure you'd have more.
Yeah, first line, three major players, you think you'd have that for sure?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you'd have at least probably six. So if we start looking at it more from a Wolfgang point of view and a Jeff Van Blarkum point of view, instead of trying to convince people, we screen through people to find out who's ready now, and they see it done in a very quick, very clean, you're confident, and your confidence would bleed right over into them, more people would be likely to say, well, this looks reasonable, it looks fast, it doesn't look painful, it looks like they know what they're doing, I could do this. You'd have more people saying yes if you did it quickly like this than you ever would for people who are spending four-hour marathons in their first ABC, right? Because even if they thought it was a good deal, they could never figure out how to find four-hour chunks to do it later. Are you all starting to see the vision of that? I'd like to have you do me a favor. I'm going to read down through the list of people, and I want you to make a commitment to me. Dave and Rhonda, under any circumstances, is there any way possible that you could absolutely, in your hands next week, have all four of the Wolfgang CDs in your hands?
Yes, I can. I will have them.
And it means if you've got to call me and have me mail me sit down and record each one of them and then put them in the mailer and mail them to your house for no cost, or you can order them from Blue Ribbon, or hopefully Rick and I can work out how to put them on the internet and you can listen to them. Under those circumstances, one way or another, you could listen to Wolfgang by this time next week.
It will be done.
Gina, would that be possible for you under all those circumstances to possibly come up with a way to have that done?
Absolutely, and if you just get them to me tomorrow, I'll make sure that Dave and Rhonda have them and Mary Jo has them. And we'll make sure Kathy gets them and Tina. You just get them here to my house tomorrow and we'll take care of the rest.
Okay, Mary Jo, if she got them to you, could you listen to them by this time next week?
Sure.
Yeah, Russell's got one. Steve, yeah, I highly recommend it, my friend. I highly recommend it because what we're going to do is take notes. And we're going to go through this in detail because what you're going to find when you listen to this guy, and we're going to do others as we go along here, is we're going to say there are people who have been able to develop silvers. Would you rather learn from somebody who's been able to develop silvers or somebody who's been able to develop royal diamonds and diamonds?
Rather listen to the person who developed the royal diamonds and diamonds.
And one of the reasons why is if you learned how to follow somebody who could develop silvers and you fall short, you're going to develop executives. If you learn from somebody who's developing royal diamonds and diamonds, and you fall short, oh crud, once in a while we make a platinum. Make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah, if you'd be kind enough to send me a copy of those CDs, I'll put them on the web.
I'll be starting right tonight to copy them from.
Before you go there, Terry?
Yeah.
Steve, I have them on my computer in my Windows Media Player. If you can stay on the call afterwards and tell me how to, maybe I can email them to you?
Sure.
Is that possible? You can tell me how to do it?
Okay, then what I will do is let's get used to using my website. I will put a page on my website for this group. This is perfect. The train is finally pulling out of the station. We're going to do our first beta test on having CDs up on the internet that will be clickable on the training page of my website. And as we go through, this is something that we've needed for a long time to have the weekly homework assignment and something that's absolutely clickable. And you don't do it, I mean, how many excuses for not doing it can a person come up with? You know, we got one full week to do it, and even if it's clickable and it's free and it's on the website, let's do it. I'd say let's just crank it up because I want you people looking so far past silver that that's just going to be a bump in the road as we go along the way. Everybody on?
On.
We're on. Okay, let's go get them in a big fat way. I'm totally stoked right now, and I got a lot of reasons to be fired up, and we're going to go for it.
Thanks, Jerry.
Appreciate y'all. Good.
We're going to give you freedom, man.
And it's your turn. Okay, bye-bye.